Teddy Roosevelt had nothing on the artist Banksy, who once said, "Speak softly but carry a big can of paint." Banksy's known for his provocative graffiti work, pieces that often incorporate existing elements of an interior wall or exterior wall or building. And there's almost always some kind of social commentary going on in his work. And so it goes with the best graffiti art, sometimes done illegally, other times sanctioned. Many cities have communities of well-known graffiti artists. New York, L.A., Berlin, Buenos Aires. What about Las Vegas? Well, a new book documents the graffiti art and the artists working in Las Vegas. The book is called Fade to Gray, and the two photographers who put that book together are with us. William Shea is here. Welcome to the program, William.
Oh, thank you. Welcome.
Also with us is Patrick Lai. Patrick Lai, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you.
William Shea, describe your favorite graffiti piece in Las Vegas. Who did it?
Oh, wow.
Why do you like it so much?
That's a difficult one. That's really hard. That's a really hard place to start.
No, just one of your favorites then.
One of my favorites I had, I guess, was on, one of my favorite ones that's still there that can be seen is on the side of the Real Results Gym. Which is, I believe, it's California and Commerce, which is a big, it's like a 50.
In the Arts District,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a 50-foot by 30-foot mural done by the SOA crew, mm-hmm. And that was one of my favorite ones. It had like the camera bots.
You like about it?
It's just the artwork was intense, and you know what it was? It's a collaboration between about five or six different artists within that crew. So they each were able to put their own different style into
the piece.
Okay,
so it's styles. The styles vary all over. Okay. Patrick Lai, what about you? Is there a favorite that you're thinking of right now?
My favorite piece is that's Alien. It's at the Imperial Street and Colorado Street. Because I like the Alien movie, mm-hmm. And the piece is so in detail about the aliens and...
William Shea.
It's actually, that piece he's referring to is gone now, but that was one that was part of the meeting of the styles.
It can be seen in your book?
It's in the book, yes. It's actually in segments because it was so large.
Yeah. Now, William Shea, you have an artist's quote in the back of the book.
I do.
Great line. Graffiti is not about clean lines, pretty colors, and beautiful blends. Graffiti is my life's turbulence exploded on a wall.
It is.
That's a provocative line. Why did you put that on the book's jacket?
Because I guess the problem has to do with a lot of the stigma of graffiti. And, growing up, I grew up in an area, for starters, that was there was no graffiti where I grew up. I grew up in like a middle-class town outside of Boston originally. And, we didn't see any graffiti at all in that area. And if you wanted to see graffiti, you had to go into Boston to go see that. And I really didn't get any great exposure to it until I moved into New York City. And that's when the artwork was everywhere and exploded.
Now, I want to ask you about that in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to that momentarily. But you got out here. Why did you decide that the graffiti of Las Vegas was something worth documenting?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Well, for starters, number one, we had no prior documentation. That was number one. There was too much talent here. There's way too much talent here, and it's not being seen. By the art community outside of the city. I mean, it was great that we could have it here and we could have it on the walls and it could be seen locally, but like as graffiti is, sooner or later it gets covered over and the piece is gone forever.
Also with us is Matt Ortego. He is a graffiti artist based here in Las Vegas. Matt, welcome to the program. It's good to
Thank
have you here.
The
quote that I just mentioned to William Shea, the graffiti is an artist's life's turbulence exploded on a wall. Do you identify with that?
I can definitely feel that way about it in some ways. I mean, I've seen some people's work that actually portray their, their backstory and their lives and stuff like that. And I can see kind of a little bit of how they do lines or how intricate some things are, how their life really is, mm-hmm. A lot of it is just trying to express oneself without without a microphone.
So why do you do this? I mean, why paint a wall rather than something like, say, a piece of canvas?
Oh, I do that, actually. I've been out of the whole graffiti thing for, like, a really long time. I was never really, like, deep into it. I've heard too many, you know, bad stories when it used to be different, you know, like it used to be crews and it used to be, you know, turf and all this stuff. Now it's more of like a individualistic expression, you know.
Clearly there was something in it, though, that reached you, that just touched something inside you.
There's something so magical in a way that you can just basically press a button and it turns into color. Mm-hmm.
Can you think of one of the first works, really inspiring works of graffiti you ever saw?
I wasn't so interested in the letters so much as a lot of more expressionistic, actual, mm-hmm. like, oil painters, actually. Mm-hmm. I was more interested in that kind of stuff. I grew up, you know, having a artist for a mom, and she showed me, you know, all these other artists and stuff. And I kind of like the expressionist movement. And graffiti, I guess I should say, like, some of my friends growing up, I really liked a lot of their stuff.
I got to say, though, Matt, I didn't expect to have a conversation about graffiti and hear someone talking about the expressionist movement.
Oh, thanks.
But here we are. We're talking about the world of Las Vegas graffiti. It's documented in a new book called Fade to Gray. It's put together by two photographers, Patrick Lai and William Shea, who are both with us. And we're talking with Las Vegas artist, graffiti artist, Matt Ortego as well. You'll find images of the book at knprnews.org. Now, William Shea, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you spent a number of years in New York, and you got to see what some would argue is one of the world's best places for graffiti arts, the Five Points area of New York.
Oh, sure.
Go to Five Points, and what do you see if you go there that makes it an epicenter for graffiti art?
Well, one, it's the size of it is incredible. It's just something that I couldn't see in Boston. And when I was in Boston, you saw walls here and there. When you're in New York City, you actually see whole buildings, and they're buildings that are private property, and a lot of them are they're allowing painters to paint on them, and it's great because it's like the expression is totally there, and you actually there's such a freedom of thought and artistic you know value to it, and it just really opens up your mind to the idea of.
Is a place like Five Points the equivalent of maybe pick up basketball, where the pretenders come in for a brief time and they get kind of pushed away very quickly and the really good players move in and they're the ones who hold the court?
No, I would not say that.
Really?
I would say it's very open.
Very open.
Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of structure in the sense of certain artists and people that used to paint there. But it was, you know, really New York, there's so much, let's say, canvas area. Let's just say there's room for everybody. There's room for everyone to paint there. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're limited and there's only so many walls or something like that. There's plenty of space.
Yeah. Okay. So go 2,700 miles west to Las Vegas.
Sure.
What's going on here? How does it compare? I mean, obviously it's not the same size.
The difference between New York and here is that what you're getting here is that you have very limited painting space. Let's just say legal painting space. Okay, so you have owners of private property downtown in the Arts District, mm-hmm. and the owners of these buildings are going to allow people to paint on them. That's fine. But it's very limited to how much space there actually is. So you can actually have a situation where you could actually have a certain number of artists, more artists than there is space to paint, mm-hmm. Where And the quality of work you're getting on the walls here is, you know, you're getting the top-notch quality right away. So every piece you're seeing is a high-quality piece. It's like the artist's best all the time. And where back east, it was like, well, you could go see the tagging stuff over there, blah, 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 whatever, and move your way up to the better stuff down the street here, where here we have something that's all of your walls are the best of the best. And that's different.
When you first got here, did you expect that?
No, I did not expect that. Matter of fact, it took me a long time to find any. I really didn't venture into the, I mean, I really didn't venture into the Arts District that much. Yeah. It was one of those, things that I gravitated down this way as I started to do, down that way as I started to do more work. And I discovered a lot of it.
So where are the best places to see examples of this work?
The best places to see these examples, especially in the, there's an alleyway that runs between Commerce and, I believe it's, is that Main Street? I believe it's Main Street.
This is in the Arts District?
In the Arts District, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's and there's an alleyway between the two streets, and a lot of the artists have painted straight down the alleyway from Utah all the way up to California.
Yeah. Now, we had an interesting dilemma in assembling this conversation.
Sure.
With the exception of Matt, who's with us now. A lot of the artists we tried to reach didn't want to join us. They wanted to stay anonymous.
That's correct. And that was a deal we made with a lot of them, is they agreed. A lot of them agreed. There were a lot of people that didn't want anything to do with it, but there are those that did that were willing to help us.
Why did they want to go that route? Why did they want to be unknown?
Partially, I believe they may have had, some of them may have had some legal issues in the past. And being that there is an abatement with the city for Greek graffiti, a lot of them don't want their name out there, and they want to maintain a street name. And those who are willing to help us, we agreed to protect their anonymity. And so on and so forth.
Matt Ordegaard, do you know any graffiti artists who are kind of fit that category, who don't want to be known?
I mean, currently I don't really know any of some of the newer people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew my friends a long time ago, but they don't do anything illegal anymore. And I don't really know. It's kind of more of an individualistic kind of thing. There is some crews and stuff like that, but
is there an outlaw element to this? That's part
definitely
of the fun.
I'm sure that's some of the the hype. It's kind of a drug in a way. The suspense and the scare that you're going to get caught, kind of thing. I mean, I never really did it too often. I was kind of more just interested in the art aspect and. I felt really strange.
In our last half minute or so, William Shea, have we entered an era where graffiti is more mainstream?
Yes, we have. You're starting to see a lot of artists come out of that anonymous field, and they're moving into the public, especially like in town now. Like let's just say we have a few artists here that you're starting to see them kind of break out into the more public forum, and their work now comes off the street and onto a canvas.
Mm. William Shea and Patrick Lye were the photographers of a book called Fade to Gray, and they have joined us along with Las Vegas-based graffiti artist Matt Ortigal. Thank you all for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.